You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday. We are doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire. Please forgive me for only having three podcasts last week. Needed one day off. Thought about making it up on Saturday. Didn't work out that way. Just needed the R&R. And then Jake Butt and I could not, we just couldn't get our schedules aligned on the bye week for a Friday podcast. But new computer, who dis? So hopefully it's all a little bit more timely. Today's the big test, but so far as the YouTube videos are concerned, it will probably take still forever to upload it. But rendering, which sometimes has taken upwards of 5 hours on the old computer, yes, this should be a lot better. This should be a lot smoother. Let's just say that some of the videos that I've put that normally take a half hour to an hour to render have taken no longer than like 3 minutes. So that's some good news. We'll find out. we'll know here soon, but hopefully it all will work out here with the new iMac Pro, new to me iMac Pro. So anyhow, Michigan, the team, says it is not looking ahead when it comes to this Michigan State game. Michigan State. It's not looking ahead to it with Northwestern coming up next. However, this guy is. Now, that's not to say that this Northwestern game will be a breeze. Northwestern, I feel like, is starting to find itself. At least it was against Rutgers. But, you know, I think that you look at Nebraska destroying them the way they did. Chances are it will be a dominant Michigan victory. But I want to talk about Michigan State a bit today because I talked about it on a morning drip. So we'll get to that. But before we do, because of Northwestern, because of Pat Fitzgerald out there, he had a comment today where he said that looking at the film, Michigan is the best team that Northwestern will have played all season, and it's not even close. What makes that fun is that the first game of the season that they played was against Michigan State. It's amazing to me because it's one of those things where it's kind of like, bro, what are you doing here? Right? Like, are you secretly a Michigan guy? So naturally, Michigan State fans, from what I saw just on Twitter, are upset about it because how dare he? But it kind of reinforces what I've been saying, and it's also kind of reinforces something that Jim Harbaugh talked about today, which is that Michigan seems to have kind of a complete team. Asked about the offensive deep ball today, Jim Harbaugh kind of demurred, like he does, into the whole team. And he's like, actually, just kind of really like everything about the team. He's like, we still have things to work on. Yes, deep ball being one of them. But he's like, we went into the season thinking that the offensive line was going to be the strength. And it turns out the defensive line is like equal to the offensive line. And it turns out that we thought that the running backs were going to be our best unit. And it turns out that the linebackers are equal to what the running backs have done. And he's not wrong. I mean, you've seen good games, you've seen bad games, you've seen all of the above. But I mean, for the most part, it's been dominant. That's one of the points that I've been trying to hammer home to people, is that this Michigan team has been dominant, save for in two halves. And even in those two halves, the defense played relatively well against Rutgers. It didn't feel like it because Rutgers was driving the field, but they still kept them out of the end zone, except for once. And certainly they missed a field goal that could have made things more interesting. But Michigan also missed a field goal, so kind of no harm, no foul there. And then really the second half against Wisconsin, again, the other side of the ball, the defense didn't step up, whereas the offense didn't step up against Rutgers. Other than that, for the most part, it has been a dominant team performance. Special teams didn't really show up at Nebraska either, but it's been a dominant team performance for the most part, right? And I understand neither team has really played anybody. I'm getting flack on YouTube for saying hey, Michigan's at least played two teams with winning records. Both of them are MAC teams. I did note that. That doesn't mean a lot, but I mean, the fact of the matter is Michigan has only been in 1.5 dogfights, right? It wouldn't be a dogfight against Rutgers if Michigan would have even scored that field goal, right? That game was all Michigan. Michigan had the first half dominance, and then they got away from it in the second half for whatever reason. Predictable play calling, just poor execution, stuff like that. But otherwise, I mean, Michigan's for the most part, like, yeah, the defense took the second half off for the 90% of the second half of the Nebraska game, and yet still the Wolverines managed to win that game, right? Because the offense still moved the ball, even though when they lost the lead, the offense was always like, all right, well, it's time to go. Still need to see more. Not saying that this is a team that's complete. I'm not even saying this is a college football playoff team. It certainly doesn't feel like it to me, at least not at this juncture. But what you want to see is a team like Michigan get better in the second half, because that's usually what actual good teams do. Good thing the bye came when it did, because now it's an every other week thing. You know, it's, you hope that you can put Northwestern away early, look sharp doing it, get some other guys some more experience, start focusing on Michigan State, get past Michigan State. Hopefully, same thing against Indiana. Indiana certainly a tougher out than I think people recognize, but still, this is not the same Indiana team that we saw last year with a high-flying offense to go along with a good defense. It's a good defense, and the offense is putrid. Get past them, and then you got Penn State. Then you got a Maryland team that certainly looks beatable, and then you got Ohio State. Michigan's taking things one game at a time. So that's the important thing. I've got some numbers that I'll bring up. I brought it up on the morning drip, but I will do that later here in the next segment. But I do want to touch more on the Pat Fitzgerald. If I have more to say, I don't know. Maybe I don't have more to say, but we will talk about that momentarily. But before we do, all right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. I know you will too. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all the star players of the Power 5 as well as the mid-major players you might not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop that you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. Make your deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. What you do is you pick 2 to 5 players and over and under on the projections, and you win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks allows mixed sport entries. That means you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app that you can get on both the Apple App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawal, so don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON or go to your app store and download the app today. PrizePicks. This daily fantasy made easy. All right. Kind of didn't touch on the Pat Fitzgerald thing other than just kind of mentioning it. I just think it's hilarious. I think he's right, because that's the thing. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Is Michigan State, there's a couple things to it. Michigan State's offense looks awesome when they're playing defenses that suck. But they have played 2 defenses with a pulse and have not looked good offensively when that's happened. Kenneth Walker III does nothing against defenses. No, I shouldn't say nothing. He still managed to do okay against Indiana, but just okay, right? He's not putting up these video game numbers. But when he's playing Youngstown State and Western Kentucky, and obviously, I mean, he opened up the Northwestern game with a 75-yard touchdown. Things are going to go off the rails. I think I have the right player. I think it was Kenneth Walker. Maybe it was Jalen Naylor on a return. I don't know. I think I have that right. I didn't see the very opening of that game because I was late switching it on, and suddenly there it is. But nonetheless, if you can take away the big plays, the giant plays, then you're in good shape. And I think with Michigan, and I'm going to double check this right here, when it comes to opponent long scrimmage plays, Michigan is one of the better teams at preventing that. Now we're looking at 10 plus yards. That's not the biggest, but Michigan is 8th in the country in allowing plays of 10-plus yards. They've allowed 61. Wisconsin is number one with only 36. At 20-plus yards, Michigan drops a little bit to 22. At 30-plus yards, Michigan is 18. 40-plus yards, Michigan, I don't see them on the upper end here. So they're 36, right above Michigan State. 50-plus yards, number one in the country. Was zero. So you hope that if they can maintain, you know, contain, be really good at tackling, those types of things, then it honestly would work out really well for the Wolverines versus the Spartans, I think, because I don't think that their offense can do a heck of a lot. Now, we'll certainly see Peyton Thorne trying to throw all over the corners, but the corners certainly look vastly improved from previous years. I think they'll at least be able to match what like Indiana did, because like Indiana plays a man coverage, yes. Michigan does a little bit more than that, and but they're playing without their best corner in Tijuan Mullen as well. So I wanted to look here on the coverage grades. I think, is that what I wanted to look at? I don't remember. I don't remember what I wanted to do. But coverage grades in the Big Ten. Hold on. I've got this all backed up. Clear. Doing this on the fly, people. I feel like Michigan's coverage grade is improved. And I feel like Peyton Thorne is very good. I'm not saying that he's not good. The receivers are very good. Jalen Naylor, Jaden Reed, they certainly scare me. Trey Mosley. Certainly there could be some insight on Trey Mosley from Ron Bellamy. He'll have to help scheme up against a guy he once coached. So that'll happen, but I really feel good about what Michigan's got in that light. Okay, so I'm looking at coverage grades. I should have done it by team. So Michigan's got a couple guys there that are doing well. It has Daxton Hill listed as a corner. He's number 8 in the conference. Michigan State, Justin White, who barely has played, so that doesn't count. He's up there. Vincent Gray's 15th in the conference. So that bodes well. Jamon Green is 20th. So Indiana's first one is that actually has played a lot is not, I mean, aside from Tijuan Mullen, who's 26th, he's pretty far down the list. Michigan State, Chester Kimbrough is their top corner. He's at 27th. So you're starting to get down that list. He's like right near DJ Turner territory at 33. So I feel good about what Michigan's bringing to the table corner-wise. Certainly that wasn't exactly what I wanted to look up. I wanted to look up something else, but I can't remember exactly what it was. But passing the ball, I mean, they're still solid. They're 80.6 grade on PFF. And coverage-wise, Michigan is 5th, and actually MSU's 3rd, but they give up a lot of yards, right? So maybe things change because these teams haven't faced the upper echelon yet. Maybe that's the case. But Michigan's defense, at least a hair better than Michigan State in the defensive grade, according to PFF. 91.8 compared to a 90.1. That number went up for Michigan State after Indiana playing against a quarterback that doesn't do anything. As far as passing the ball, Michigan State's just a hair above Michigan, number 3 to number 4. Pass blocking, Michigan's actually 6, where Michigan State's 3. Receiving, Michigan State's way up at number 2. Michigan's at 8. So that's something that's got to change. But running the football, Michigan's 1. Michigan State's 3. So we'll see. There's a lot to see here. Michigan's got the 4th best offense in the conference, according to PFF. Michigan State is 2. There's a lot to see here. Now, here's what I was pulling up. Let me see if I have it ready. So I mentioned, like, okay, Michigan's the number 38 offense and the number 21 defense. The big premier matchup in the non-conference for Michigan was Washington is 2-4. Very similar to... See, Michigan State, theirs was a 2-4 Miami. So Michigan State's got the number 26 offense, so 12 spots higher, but it's got the number 85 defense in total yards. Something that I do want to look up that I was thinking about during this. So you look at the total defense, Michigan State is 85 in the country. They are allowing 404.7 yards a game. So that's certainly better than what Michigan was, because Michigan in 2020, you keep in mind, was, where were they? I have them. They were 84. So one spot better, giving up 429.3. So think about that. Michigan State, it's 7-0. A lot of it's because the offense has been really good, but the defense is playing the same type of game, essentially, ultimately, as Michigan was last year. So that's in total defense. And someone pointed out to me, okay, look at scoring defense. Okay, fair. They're 16th in the country in scoring defense, which Michigan is 9th. So, okay, fair. They're 16th. Michigan's scoring defense was certainly not in the upper echelon. It was, I don't even know where it was, but it's down probably number 95. So, but Michigan State was right there below Michigan last year. So, nonetheless, the fact that Michigan has done what it's been able to do against like the likes of Wisconsin. Wisconsin's also kind of down at the 23 spot in large part because Michigan put up 38 and they had a turnover fest the week before against Notre Dame, in which Notre Dame had a similar disparity. Michigan State, as far as the what it is put out there in the world, they have allowed 21 points, 14, 17, 20, 31, 13, and 15. So it's pretty similar to Michigan's for the most part. The 31 from Western Kentucky, that tells you that now that's a top-rated offense, but that tells you that Michigan should be able to get some things done. Anyway, all right, I'm going to continue on this too early look, being way too early, because I want to continue through those numbers. I'll do that momentarily. But before we do, I got to tell you something about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I put my money where my mouth is so many times. I don't know why I haven't bought a new box. I need to. I just keep on forgetting every time I say it. And I remember at like 2 a.m. when I'm like, I'm hungry but don't want an actual meal. Nonetheless, if you don't know what Built Bar is, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It is high protein, low calorie, low carb. So it's everything you want. I have two at a time because I am a glutton. I can't help it. And I have two at a time, but it's still lower calories and higher protein than going out and getting a Metrics Big 100, which used to be my go-to for that type of thing. So you know what? It's 10 times more delicious. When I say it tastes like a candy bar, I'm not lying at all. It's because I have one and then I'm like, that's too good. I have to have another. That's always how it goes. It's never like I'm going to have two right now. The peanut butter brownie is my favorite. Certainly some of the other salted caramel, almond toffee, and others are just phenomenal. So don't delay. Go to built.com, put in promo code LOCKED15. That's built.com, promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order of Built Bar. All right. So let's finish out this conversation about it, because I just don't really want to get too much into, Northwestern yet. Like, I feel like this is not the game that, it's just not an exciting matchup, right? I mean, it'll be exciting when it happens, but I don't feel like people are going to get out of bed for it. You know what I mean? Anyhow. So teams that Michigan has played as far as defense is concerned, the 28th ranked defense, the 40th, the 88th, the 60th, the 2nd, the 42nd. And so that's an average of the 43rd ranked defenses. And this was the argument that I was making with a Michigan State player, or not player, but person on YouTube, because he's like, you don't just look at that Indiana game and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and he's tried to say Wisconsin's a bad team. Like, okay, if you want to tell me Wisconsin's offense isn't good and Michigan's defense did a great job, that's a different thing, right? You have to have some nuance. You can't just say Wisconsin's 2-3, so they're not very good. So let's just throw it all out. Or they're 3-3 now, actually, I think. But it doesn't work that way. You have to look at the nuance to some degree. Because if you looked at Iowa, you'd be like, okay, yeah, like, you know, that's a great team. You know, they were just ranked number 2 in the country. But they had the one of the top defenses, but their offense not good. And that's why they lost to Purdue. Because once the defense kind of got figured out, at least by a team that could do it like Purdue did, then that's where things change. Because Purdue came in with, I wouldn't say a high-flying offense, but it came in certainly with an offense that is pretty good. I'm curious to where Purdue ranks now. So let's see if I can find out. Well, it's the 54th ranked offense, but they pass the ball like crazy. 2,005 yards in passing, which actually does rank in number 16 in the country. So they figured, hey, we can pass the ball on Iowa, and they did. They just went and passed like crazy all over Iowa. So that is a big part of it. So Michigan has played some pretty good defenses. Out of all of the defenses it's played, it's only played one in the bottom half. Keeping in mind, 65 is the cutoff. So 66 and below is the bottom half. Michigan's played one in NIU, and they scored 63 on them. Against the better defenses, yeah, Wisconsin, number two, they didn't run the ball like crazy. Against Rutgers, 60. Rutgers certainly in the second half was like, we're going to stop the run at all costs, and Michigan couldn't throw the ball in that game. They didn't play well. 112 yards rushing against Rutgers, 112 rushing against Wisconsin as well. So it's kind of funny going up against what was the number one run defense until they played Army. Certainly, Michigan was able to at least run a bit on Wisconsin. But then you look at like Nebraska, who has the 42 defense. That's another team that Michigan State's played. Michigan State couldn't run on Nebraska. Michigan got 204 yards. They got 71 yards rushing against Nebraska. So on the other end, Michigan State has played the Northwestern defense, which is 94. Youngstown State doesn't count because they don't get ranked in here because they're an FCS school. So do whatever, you know, with that game. Miami, 73. Nebraska, 42. Western Kentucky, 122. Rutgers, 60. Indiana, 36. So they've played two defenses with a pulse. On the upper third of those 130 teams, rather, Nebraska and Indiana. And against those teams, they rushed for 71 yards and 100 yards. And when you consider like, hey, that they run the ball, that's what they do. They weren't able to do anything against those two teams. So I think that tells you a little bit more of the story. They also have not, I understand Michigan played two MAC teams, dominated those MAC teams, but those two MAC teams are the ones that have winning records. Michigan State is yet to play a team with a winning record. So that is also why I'm flipping my prediction in favor of Michigan. I'm not flipping it by like a wide margin. I'm not predicting like a blowout, but I'm looking at these two teams. Michigan has also dominated 10 halves of football. And in both of those game two halves that they didn't dominate, they at least were solid on one side of the ball. They were solid against Rutgers in the end. Yes, they gave up a ton of yards. They kept them out of the end zone. Defense won that game in the end. They gave up 10 points. So that's what you're wanting. That was certainly less than spectacular. I'll give you less than solid. Against Nebraska, the defense fell apart again, but the offense held its end of the bargain against Nebraska, and both sides won that game. So I just feel that Michigan's more consistent, because Michigan State, when it's gone up against a defense with a pulse, it hasn't done very good. Because, like I said, Michigan's played one team defensively that's in that bottom that is in that bottom half. Michigan's played 1, 2, 3, 4 teams that are in that upper quarter of college football. So Michigan State has played two. So Michigan's played four, Michigan State's played two. And against those two, the offense has not looked good. So that makes me think that Michigan State's offense, when it goes up against Michigan's defense, is going to struggle to move the ball. Maybe it won't. Maybe it will be that typical aberration, you know, Penn State on the road type thing that we've seen before. Maybe that's exactly what it will be. But I think Michigan State's offense is a slight, maybe not complete, but slight paper tiger, being ranked 26th in the country, is what I'm saying. Defensively, they're ranked 85th, but they keep teams out of the end zone. Michigan is a very good red zone team when it comes to scoring. They've only missed one opportunity thus far on a missed field goal. Otherwise, they've scored every other time. But you need to see more touchdowns. That's the big thing that Michigan needs to figure out as far as red zone conversions, touchdown percentage. See, Michigan goes from scoring percentage number 6, touchdown percentage drops a bit. Where is Michigan? I'm going to have to search because it certainly falls. Michigan goes all the way down to 69th. So Michigan needs to figure out how to get into the end zone. They cannot settle for field goals. Just cannot do it. When it comes to field goal percentage, Michigan is right freaking up there. I don't know how to read this thing, apparently, because Michigan's, 14th. So, yeah, touchdown percentage, Michigan needs to find a way to get touchdowns. It cannot settle for field goals. They have 51, they're number 51 in the country when it comes to touchdowns scored in the red zone, but percentage-wise, not great. But still, Michigan, when it comes to score percentage in the red zone, 6th in the country. I have to imagine that Michigan State opposing red zone is probably pretty high, but I'm not actually seeing them in the upper echelon. So 57th. But Michigan's no good there either. So Michigan 68th. Nonetheless, I think if Michigan's offensive line can protect, and I think Michigan will be able to throw the ball, I think Michigan will be able to run somewhat on Michigan State. Certainly, it's a better run defense than pass defense. They're 33rd in the country. They allow 119.29 yards per game on the ground, which is just slightly better than Michigan. Michigan allows the 34th, which is 119.33. So they allow just a fraction more, Michigan does. But Michigan's played Wisconsin. Michigan's played, that's it. As far as the list of, and Western Michigan, which is 30th in the country, as far as run defense is concerned. And certainly some of those teams like Washington, their numbers are ballooned in part because they've played Michigan. Washington, I can't even see them on this list. But it's a long list, so it's hard to really figure when Washington's 103rd in rush defense. Because they've allowed 242 to Oregon State and 237 to UCLA this last week. Which leads me to my last point. Pretty cool to see two current Michigan running backs and one former Michigan running back all get 100 yards against Washington, because Zach Charbonnet got over 100 yards against the Huskies. So pretty cool that that's worked out that way in one season. So interesting. All right. Yes, that will do it. We'll be back tomorrow. We're not going to do PFF this week because I don't think we are. I could change my mind tomorrow and call him up for Wednesday. We'll see, but we'll find some stuff to talk about. Obviously, we'll probably start shifting gears towards Northwestern unless some kind of weirdness happens as we continue to just evaluate what this team is going to do and what's going to go forward. So anyway, that'll do it for us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Tuesday. Thanks for watching and or listening. Peace.